6 years ago, the international community agreed that we should not allow GHG emissions to continue to the point where the planet would warm 2 degrees above pre-industrial levels. 2 degrees can be quite devastating for the oceans. The amount of temperature change could affect fishing patterns and coral reefs. 2 degrees, we're already seeing that parts of the oceans are warming more than others. So in the Northwest Pacific, off the coast of the Philippines, it's much warmer than elsewhere. You know, this brings volatile weather, extreme weather events. It brings spots of heat and spots of rainfall, which are very difficult to manage. So 2 degrees is where we should stop the that is where we're trying to negotiate for, right. But 2 degrees is dangerous in and of itself.
Right. Well, let's talk about the conference in Paris. Compared to other negotiations in the past, what makes this one different?
I think in the past, people were very fixed on a sort of a global number, you know, that emissions will reach either this, or we will stop emissions at this point, that we will have a global binding treaty to which everybody will adhere. That's really not on the table in the same way in Paris. In Paris, we're expecting to have bottom-up commitments and then negotiated language which provides a framework into which everybody's actions must fit. So countries are submitting plans. They're called intended nationally determined contributions. Mm-hmm. We have a finance package. There is a negotiation of a text. And there are what we call the action agenda, where civil society and science and business and government are coming together on issues which are important to them and saying, we're going to do this outside of the convention.
What does a strong climate deal look like? What are we hoping for?
Really ambitious agreements about how far and fast we will drive carbon out of our economy. Real commitments to support technically and with financial support those who are the most vulnerable. Real support to cities that they can become centres of innovation and competitiveness and jobs, but do so in a way that people can breathe and that they're competitive and they have less carbon in their economies. Mm-hmm. And then a transformation of agriculture. We have to provide nutrition and food security to people while coping with climate change and without bringing more emissions into the landscape.
What role does the World Bank Group play in all of this?
So our role is as the development finance organization that will be there for you, not just today, not just as we were 20 years ago, but in 20 years' time and 25 years' time, with technical solutions, with knowledge of what's working elsewhere in the world, and with flexible financing to help you get there. So, you know, countries are going to experience extreme weather events. They're going to experience transformations in their landscape. They're going to experience the dislocation, perhaps, in some parts of society as jobs grow in the clean and green parts of the economy, and perhaps jobs start to disappear in heavier industry and those that are dependent upon carbon in an old way. We are the organization that will be with you through this transformation, and we must be good enough to be able to provide you with some of the solutions that might work for you.